When something big happens in the entertainment world, this guy's phone rings off the hook. So I'm very glad that he could have time to check in with us this morning. Robert Thompson is here from the Bleier Center of Television and Pop Culture at Syracuse University. Bob, good to have you.
Thank you for having me again.
I think I heard you this morning on the newscast at about 3 a.m. our time. So good to have you still on the air. And of course, we're talking about Stephen Bochco, who passed away yesterday at the age of 74. Talk about a legacy. Wow.
Yeah, and you know, this may not be a household name to a lot of people. And when they heard of his passing, they may not have heard the name before or not have remembered it. But he created, co-created, and executive produced, and was the real shepherd of Hill Street Blues.
Yeah.
January 1981, it debuted. And without Hill Street Blues, the whole new golden age of television would have never happened. I think that without Hill Street Blues, there'd have been no Sopranos. Without the Sopranos, there'd have been no Mad Men and Fargo and all the other great things that we have. And without Stephen Bochco, there'd have been no Hill Street Blues. So clearly one of the most influential people in the history of American fictional television.
You know, when it comes to Hill Street Blues, which was one of my favorite TV shows, and, you know, it's amazing to think, and I know he was not alone in this effort in terms of writing, but all of a sudden, television writers on this show had to do dialogue for about 30 different cast members. Members,
right.
You know, and that was a first. And I mean, when it comes,
not only dialogue, you're absolutely right about that, but not only dialogue for this huge number of characters, but really good dialogue.
Yeah.
Dallas a few years ago had kind of brought the nighttime soap opera, and there's a lot of people, but Hill Street Blues was, it took the idea of Dallas and brought it to this extraordinary level. And if you look at some of the writers who wrote for Hill Street Blues, former Yale English professors, people who had been to Harvard, who had taught in Paris, who had published short stories in the New Yorker. This was not your usual television hacks. These were people you usually would have expected to see in fancy universities, and they were writing for television.
And that's
today,
why the dialogue was so smart.
That's right. The one of their first Emmys they got for the debut of the third season, David Milch, who in fact had been teaching English at Yale University prior to that and would go on to do NYPD Blue with Bochco and, of course, Deadwood and other shows like that.
You know, I'll never forget, Bob, the pilot episode for NYPD Blue, which was shocking for a number of reasons, bare butts
sure
being
was.
One of them. And
it didn't play in Syracuse because the general manager didn't think it was appropriate for our community.
That's hilarious. And I remember the initial interaction between Andy Sipowicz and his future wife, Sylvia. And she was trying to explain some sort of legal terminology to him. And he was grabbed his crotch and said, yeah, ipsa this, you know, and and called her something. I can't remember what. But I mean, it was you knew even in the pilot episode with Hill Street or with NYPD Blue, this was a different kind of television.
You sure did. I mean, there was language and hyphenated language that we wouldn't even say on the talking to each other here today. On
that's
the radio.
Right. Yeah.
And there was nudity, some of it pretty substantial. And everybody thought after NYPD Blue, and this is, of course, in the mid-1990s, that all of network television was going to go in that direction. It didn't. Actually, NYPD Blue, lo these many years later, still is about the harshest thing we would see on network television.
I think you're right there. And then in the 80s, you know, he really polished things up and he took a look at the times, the 80s, and produced a show called L.A. Law, which was huge hit and really was the definition of water cooler discussion.
Right. That started in 1986. Hill Street Blues had started in 1981. And L.A. Law did for the Law show what Hill Street had done for the Cop show. But it was a much bigger hit, as you pointed out, than Hill Street Blues had been. And they did a lot of stuff that, again, by today's standards, seems like nothing, but they had a same-sex kiss, for example.
That's right, yeah.
That happens all the time now. It didn't happen all the time back then.
And I'll never, I mean, who can forget, oh, I can't remember the name of the character she portrayed, but she was the grand poobah attorney, female, and was a fan, nobody was a fan of hers. She was just, and her death ended up, I think, being listed on one of the, you know, like the 10 most interesting deaths on TV when she got into the elevator and all of a sudden the doors closed and the elevator dropped, I don't know, 30 floors or something. And that was her demise. So there were just noteworthy
death
moments.
My elevator shaft was a pretty good, was pretty amusing back in the 80s.
I don't think I knew prior to yesterday when I heard about Stephen Bochco's passing that he also was at the helm of Doogie Howser, MD.
Oh, now, don't get me started on this. This is one of the big mysteries of television. There were two people at the helm of Doogie Howser. Stephen Bochco, who, of course, transformed American television with Hill Street Blues, and David Kelly, one of the greatest writers in the history of American television. Brought us Ally McBeal, Boston
Private
Legal,
Practice,
Picket Fences.
Yeah.
And he had started as a writer on L.A. Law with Bochco. And they put together this half-hour drama-slash-comedy starring a charmingly young Neil Patrick Harris.
Yep.
And it was an amusing enough show. A lot of people liked it, but I cannot believe that these two dramatic geniuses had come up with this, I don't know, in my opinion, less than genius show about a genius Doogie Howser.
And if you would have asked, and I'm sure many people did, Stephen Bochco prior to his death, what will be included in your legacy? He would probably laugh, pause for a moment, and say, cop rock. Because you can't have, you know, a resume like Stephen Bochco's without talking about the one that got away.
And I'm glad you brought that up. And by total coincidence, in my history of TV class last week, we were up to the early 1990s, and I showed an episode of Cop Rock.
You did?
And this was, of course, universally despised.
Yeah.
It was sort of Hill Street Blues as a musical.
Yeah.
But it was done like a totally legit, you know, realistic cop show. And then every now and again, they'd break into
songs. They'd break into songs.
Randy Newman composed songs.
Yeah.
And when they did it right, it was beautiful. They did a courtroom scene where the entire jury were singing in gospel in robes and everything. It was beautiful. But when they had cops out in the street singing, people didn't know what to do with it. And even when it was 12 or 13 episodes that got canceled, never seen again, when it played on VH1 many years later, I think it was the lowest rated show that VH1 had ever put on the air, reruns.
You can't even buck the trend in reruns. But other than that, an amazing success story.
On DVD, I think Cop Rock was a lot better than people said it was. I would highly recommend you go and watch it.
You know, all I remember about it is tuning in, I think, for one episode when it first came out, because I thought, well, shoot, Stephen Bochco's at the helm. This has got to be good. And I remember getting about halfway through and thinking, oh, no, this was a terrible idea.
Well, you were unique in getting halfway through. Most people didn't get that far.
Yeah, I think so. But, man, what a legacy and what a series of titles he has left in his wake, and a remarkable talent. And, it'll be interesting to see. David Kelly, I guess, would be the next closest guy to him with that kind of resume and the ability to write and produce that kind of quality television.
Well, and of course, Shonda Rhimes.
Oh, there's Shonda.
Show, but she's got like, 6 hours on primetime. Right?
Yeah, yeah. The writing is a little bit different, though.
It's a very different kind of writing.
Yeah. Well, he will be missed. The kind of shows, fortunately, that he is most known for will live on. And thank God for Netflix. I think I just tuned up the first series or the first season of Hill Street Blues just a couple of months ago. So I'll have to sit back and watch those again. Bob, thanks so much for checking in with us this morning. I know it's been a busy one for you, but he's worth it.
He is, and it's always fun to talk to you. Thank you.
All right, that is Robert Thompson. He is the director of the Blyer Center for Television and Pop Culture at Syracuse University, our go-to guy when something of note happens in the entertainment world.